Oh, the wonder of worshiping a God that great, that magnificent. We are focused in the Scripture for a few Sundays on the issue of worship, but not as we have often looked at it in terms of corporate worship, you know, what we're doing right here all together. And this hour, hour and a half, we call worship on Sunday, but really emphasizing your life and mine in personal worship all week long. So how is it going? Did we take the temple of the Holy Spirit with us on the road last week? Did you think about our words last Sunday in the Scripture and our challenge before you that we will live God in us and through us, and that the Spirit takes up residence and wants to be with us and go with us, and we can worship Him moment by moment all through the day, all week long? I suspect many of us failed, because it's not the right habit yet to think that each day and what we're going through in our lives, and we forget, don't we? We think of worship as that thing we got to get ready for next Sunday. All the while, God in His Word is far more concerned about your daily worship of Him, my worship of Him, moment by moment, all through the day. It will change the way we view our days. It will alter the way we think, our priorities, our approaches to every portion of our lives. Some of it will be painful. We will discover, however, that we are building character to be more like God and to love Him more and worship Him more and more and enjoying it even. And in the end, we will count it all loss for the perfect joy of knowing God and having worshiped Him regularly on through the week, almost all the time. The bottom line, as far as God is concerned, is this business of personal worship in here is all or nothing at all. Did you know that the Scripture's first mention of the word worship, as we understand it in a formal sense as an intentional act of worship, is found in the book of beginnings, Genesis, and chapter 22, if you brought a Bible? Go with me there this morning. Let's follow in this absolutely marvelous story of Abraham and his son. And most of you will recall that event right off the bat as you think about Abraham and all he went through. And here was a moment where he, we'll look at the details in a moment, but in this word that he presents for about the first time, at least in this way, is an act of worship unto God. Says to the servant, stay here with this animal. My son and I are going up there, up onto the mountain, to worship. To worship. Abraham had climbed the mountain with his son, whom he intended to offer as a sacrifice as God had demanded. Most of us, I think, recognize this story with some pain. It's one of the most gut-wrenching stories we have in all of the Bible. God has allowed Abraham to wait for so very, very long for this promised child. The promised one came. And now this father, this obedient father, is asked to place his boy on an altar and give him back to God. How can he do it? It's absolutely insane of him to think about having to do this. Why, oh God, are you asking this of personal worship from my heart? This very excruciating moment, Abraham gave it a name, and one not found in the Bible until this moment. He called it worship. Worship, and it could not have been more personal. Is there a more profound picture of the power of faith in all the Bible than this? Abraham is prepared to give all that he has, including the very one he loves so much, all that is really precious to him, back to God. And the only reason he can really do that is he has had a worship experience moment by moment with his Father in heaven, and he understands and he knows and he obeys. His great, wonderful God. He's willing even to give his Son back to God. Like any father, I suspect Abraham would no doubt have given his own life to save his son. But God has asked him to do something far more demanding, to give him the child. It was all or nothing at all kind of commitment. Complete dedication, complete surrender, complete obedience. Amazing. Incredible. You see, with our God, there is no way for us to be slightly crucified with Christ. Certain days of the week and pick up a part of the cross and follow him. No, he said all of it. It's all or nothing. True worship is true sacrifice. And if you let your eyes look at verses 17 and 18 in this passage, you'll see that God is setting up to test this man. An entire nation, God told him, would come from him. In fact, the children of Abraham would outnumber the stars, and it would be through this promised child. From him all generations would be blessed. What kind of a man is worthy of such an honor as God gave to Abraham? Abraham had to be tested, and he had to endure the most difficult test I think he could possibly have endured. And because this is all now history for us, and we get to read about it and learn all the details here, how much Abraham really understood, it may never be known this side of heaven. God calls Abraham and tells him exactly what to do. You are to go to the land of Moriah, and you are to wait there with instructions from me. And it all begins with the voice of the Father in heaven. It all begins with God himself. Worship comes as a command. This is not a suggestion that we engage in a meaningful relationship all during the week together. This is a command of God. He will do this. This will test Abraham's heart like no other test. It comes at the depth of the Father's heart with complete passion. How is he going to handle the test? Personal worship, you see, right out of this old ancient chapter, is God's idea. He came up with it. You've got a God of the Old Testament here calling one of his children to be a leader and to step out. And he's calling a child to act in a refining, a purifying, an amazing way, an obedient way that will test this man to the deepest part of his heart. And then we have a God of the New Testament who will make the same sacrifice, who will ask his only loved son as well to come. And the only difference in that was not executed. He did not hold the hand as he did of Abraham and saying, no, he let his son die on that cross for you and for me. So deep is the love of our Father, so profound is his desire to bless us that he himself made sure that sacrifice occurred. Verse 3 tells me Abraham rose early in the morning. I would have slept in really late. I would have done everything possible to avoid that day, not even face that day. And Abraham rose early in the morning, and he made all the preparations for the journey, and then woke up his son and split the wood for the fire and headed off to a place that God had directed. You're going to give your son in worship of me. Just think how much time and many opportunities Abraham could have used to delay this, to procrastinate this, to figure out a better weather day. We can travel better Monday. And whatever, just to avoid it, I certainly would have tried myself. But not Abraham. The Scripture details this in action in every detail. In fact, we're told this man rose early in the morning to get a head start on one of the most confusing, troubling, difficult days of his life. Abraham set out for what the Lord had defined for him as personal worship. We're going to test you, Abraham. I'm going to see what's really in your heart. Not what it looks like on Sunday, not what it looks like in front of other people, not doing your job. I want to know about your heart, Abraham, and I'm going to test you. Here we go. I'm going to ask you in worship to give me your son. And he responds early in the morning and does exactly what the Father required. I have a little book in my library by Robert Weber on worship is a verb. Worship is a verb. The author's thesis in there is that that when you think about personal worship, now I'm not talking about this hour. See, I'm talking about what happens in your heart all week long. What happened last Thursday when you were at school? Were you worshiping? Did you pass the test when there was this example or that, and you had to represent the Lord Jesus, and somebody asked you a question? How did you respond? Would you worship him through it? And he calls it a verb. Much greater than feelings or thought processes. It's something much greater than emotions alone. Worship is an activity. I call it a verb, action. We pursue daily in obedience to God's command. It is something that we choose to participate in with action. You see? All week. Now, let's not miss the point. For too many of us, worship is like participating in an NFL football game. We watch it on TV, we turn it on, we get all excited. We got the right clothes, we're ready to roll. It's going to be exciting. Or we even venture to the stadium a couple times and get in our seats way up high, and we participate in this football game by watching and screaming and yelling and crying and hoping and all this stuff that you go through. But you know what? All of us in the stand, we're just going through it vicariously. They're the ones participating. We're watching the game. We're just watching it, and all we can do is feel their victory, feel their pain, feel what's going on, and we sort of are doing it away from the action. We're not getting involved. And somebody has said that it's so glaring at a stadium like that that you got, well, in Denver's case, you got 76,280 fans, all of us in the seats, desperately needing some exercise. Watching, participating, but not playing, and 22 guys on a field desperately in need of some rest. That's watching the game. That's not participating. And I really fear sometimes in our lives that we approach church the same way. Church is that activity on Sunday morning that we sit and we listen and we watch and we spectate something else. And when it's just an hour and a half, we can listen, we can make notes, we can think good, we can think bad, we can criticize, whatever, because we're watching something happen and not participating all week. Because what God sees is that we're just in our seats on this hour, and then the only time he realizes we really think worship is getting ready for next Sunday again. See? Another game. Time to fill the stadium and start screaming again and having a great time as a collection of people, as I believe this has been this morning again. I just love it. But my Father wishes for my participation in worship tonight when I'm tired and we're talking. Thank you, Father. It's moment by moment. And tomorrow morning and Tuesday afternoon and there at the store or in this classroom or at work, dealing with things where you have to deal with people. You know, all that goes on all week long. Worship, God says, is personal. Abraham, I want you to know that this thing is personal. And I'm testing your heart. Yours and yours alone. And he's testing us as well. What would he say we have to place on the altar? Listen to this again in verse 2. Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, the one you deeply love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering. And as you know the story, I know you know this story, Abraham's boy was everything to him. We all love our children. But this one is especially special. Because this one had been waited for and prayed for and hoped for and finally rejoiced over when he arrived like no other. And only to be a sacrificial animal? This is insane. This is ridiculous, God. In fact, the only explanation we really have of what God was doing at that moment inside his heart and what was going on in Abraham's heart is offered to us in Hebrews 11, that great chapter on men and women of faith, when it tells us, God tells us, that Abraham, by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only loved son, of whom it was said in Isaac, your seed shall be called, because he was resting on the fact that God could raise him from the dead. That's what we learn. That's when we learn what was in Abraham's heart as he's going through this incredibly difficult test. God has made a promise. God never reneges on his promises. God, I know you're there. I know you're real. I know you mean business. I want to worship you right now. I don't get this. I am confused about it. I am troubled about what you're asking me to do. But I know you've promised to bless this nation and these people through this boy. I believe, I trust with all my heart that you are able to raise him from the dead. I choose to trust you in this. I follow you. I obey you. Let's go to the mountain and worship. In a sense, it was, I guess, quite simple. Abraham had received a promise. He was assured that God was going to bless his family through this son. God would not break a promise. God will raise my son. Willing to literally put his faith to the fire, under the knife. His personal act of worship at that moment, when there wasn't a crowd around him, it wasn't Sunday morning, was, here I am, Lord. I do not understand this, but I know who you are, and I love you, and I choose to worship you in here, all alone, all or nothing at all. What would we have to place on that altar? That's kind of frightening. That's pretty scary. It's a very personal question, a difficult one for me to answer, and probably it is for you as well. Where is our primary place of worship? Where are we going to do that kind of personal worship? In this room? No, probably not. Probably God isn't going to deal with us in that way personally right here this morning. Not at all. Or some other quiet place during the week. Probably just in your heart, he's going to speak to you about what he demands. And you know what he demands? First place in everything. That's all. And immediately, we are all beginning to think when we hear that, God wants first place. He wants to be number one. He wants to be more important than her or him or them or it. He wants to be number one, and whatever it is that is in the way, put on that altar, my Father says. We'll test you in this. What if worship was like that? What if real personal worship demanded the very thing we valued most? I know for me, I know that I would learn more about myself than at any other time. And what would help prepare that moment for what God says is demanded of me, of you, would be a consistent, daily relationship with Him that has made a difference all week long, not just on Sundays, or you probably will fail. I probably will fail if this is just a Sunday morning worship thing that makes me feel better, and then I can go out and live the week the way I want. That's not what He has in mind. That's not what He demands. I demand first place in everything. I want to be more important, Dave, in your life than anybody else. I demand it. So Abraham here, I believe, demonstrated what was inside him and how deep his faith really was. The depth of his personal worship. And God says in verses 16, 17, and 18, because, Abraham, you have obeyed. Because, Abraham, you have not changed the plan, you have been tested in this, I know your heart. I know you were willing to do anything for me. Don't plunge that knife. Now I know your heart in worship. You might remember a story of a little boy whose younger brother was very, very ill, and a blood transfusion was needed, and a sibling was going to be the best match. So after some testing, the parents took that other son aside and explained to him that your blood might save your brother's life, and without it, son, he could die. This young man agreed finally and nodded he'd do that. That was okay. And the nurses were preparing the instruments, and he was laying there and looking up into her eyes and trying to figure this whole thing out. And she said, just relax. It's going to be okay. It's not going to hurt that much, really. But how long is this going to be for me, he said. How much more time do I have? This young kid was so confused. He thought he was not just giving some blood, he was giving his life, and he was about to die. He was willing to do that, though, for his younger brother. God, in Christ, did that for you and me. He did not stop the bleeding. Our Father in heaven let his son go through the misery and the bloody mess. We described that this morning in class. The bloody mess of that cross and that scene. He gave his only son because he loves you and me. And anyone and everyone who puts their trust and their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ will be God did that for me and you. It was all or nothing at all. If you're looking like I'm looking to build that kind of character in me that Abraham had, to stand the test and win, I don't know what kind of a test. Hopefully it'll never be like that, but I don't know what God wants of me and you, but He wants first place, I know that. And He wanted that in Abraham's heart. This is going to be my leader and carry us on for generations. I need to know what He's all about and whether He really loves me and worships me all week long, not just Sunday morning. What am I going to need? More discipline? perhaps. Better habits in my life. We've talked about that, absolutely. A little more time praying and talking with God and looking in His Word, absolutely. But more than anything else, think of this with me, the character trait we really must have that Abraham demonstrated was humility, wasn't it? Humility to be before God and say, I know who you are. You are God, and I love you, and I know who I am. And I humble myself to be obedient to you, even when the instructions are absolutely insane. They make no sense at all. I choose to love you and give this over to you. I humble myself. I humble myself. You know what? That's exactly what it says about Jesus. With joy before him, he humbled himself and became obedient to the cross. He had to humble himself before his Father. And we said this before, but remember it again here this morning. The only time Jesus really ever described himself, can you think when that might be? There were times when he asked others, you know, who am I? Answer, you know, class, come on. There were many times when he said that to others, and he spoke to Pilate, and there were all kinds of times in the Word. The only time he really described his own character was when he said, I am humble in my heart. I am humble. And he humbled himself before the Father. Death on the cross. I must be humbled. God must crush me to use me. It is doubtful that God has ever used someone greatly without crushing him in spirit before them. Breaking his spirit. Pride. Not the humility that Abraham showed and Abraham lived every day of his life, I believe, and could hear those instructions and say, I choose to worship you. I humble myself. I don't get it, but you're in charge. You're my God. I go there. I don't get it. Maybe you can raise him again. I don't know what this is all about, but I love you, God, and I will choose right now to do the right thing, to love you. I do not believe that Abraham could have done that if he hadn't had a worship experience in his heart all week long, not just Sunday morning. That's what God is looking for in us. Tonight, tomorrow morning, this is the temple of the Holy Spirit. We take him with us everywhere we go. It's not scary, isn't it? Kind of frightening. Think about that. Everybody's looking at us and hearing us and your role and your career and where you're going to be tomorrow. I don't know. Maybe home. Maybe at the school. Whatever place God has put you, you're a temple of the Holy Spirit. Worship him in spirit and truth. Worship him through that job, through that appointment, in your home, at the school, at the store. It's moment by moment, living in the presence of God, practicing the presence of God all week. I need that. Maybe you do too. Let's pray. Oh, Father, forgive me, Father, for being a son of yours that feels I need so little time with you to grow our relationship as father and son. Forgive me of that. Again. And help me today, maybe tonight, maybe tomorrow, really think about that, Father, and worship you in the way I go and where I go and what I do, that I am always a reflection of you, and the Holy Spirit is guiding that as he lives within me and becomes the temple of the Spirit through the week, so that my words and my actions and my thoughts are pleasing to you. And in order for that to happen, even in the next few hours, I must humble myself right now before you. humble myself. I know who you are. You are God, and you are good, and you are great. And I know who I am. I'm one of your kids that needs to learn and grow and worship and depend on you more and more and more. Lead us in that. Help us surrender that. I pray in Jesus' name.